Welcome to the Keel Hauled Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Logan, and we've got a lot of Sea of Thieves news to cover today. So tie yourselves to the mast and hold fast. Ahoy there, pirates. I hope you had yourselves a good week and a good weekend. I know I did. This week, it is the April Gold Hoarder episode. So we're going to be talking about Sea of Thieves in its current state. An addressal from Joe Neat himself over on Twitter addressing Xbox crashes. And we also had a really good conversation about PlayStation 5 and what we would say to new players to the game. And I think, honestly, if you want to hear some of the best, like, welcoming statements, I would say, from a community to newcomers of that community, hang around towards the end of this episode, because I really enjoyed the conversations that we had today. But that really stuck out for me as like, this is a really touching moment. I love this. It's what the game is about. And I think you'll enjoy it, too. So with all that said, let's get into it. But before I get into any of that, I have to thank the patrons. They're the ones that are supporting this content. So you too can head over to patreon.com/keelhauledpodcast if you'd like to support. Thank you, of course, to them for all the funds that they are providing to help keep up the cost of this podcast. It's also going towards the funds for getting to Sea of Thieves Fest, I always do this every single week, Fest of Legends over in Ohio. Going to be doing that and looking forward to it. Probably going to see if I can get Dread Pirate Doug on the podcast again soon so that we can talk about Fest of Legends and what's going on there, since there's been some updates, and like to make sure that folks know if you can go, definitely feel free to look into tickets and stuff like that. So for the patrons, I like to call out their names every week. So thank you to Adorabold, Elcute, Balls, Blue Turtle V1, Captain Chonky, Captain Hayes, Captain Longsharts, Chateau Neuf, Super Pack, Zombie Killer. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. Cloud, Cosmic Johnson, Static Mirror, Iron John, Davram TV, El Jefe Esteban, Fergatron, Godhammer 6, I'm Dependent Now, Jorby Jorbs, Jay Hood, Carl Embo, Kazia the Aficionado, Cryptic Slayer, Lumpy SRQ, Evil Morpheus, Space Admiral Ors, Xbox Mike 29, Murphy Lives, Mutinous Max, Nipper Kim, Norwegian, Raja the Brave, Registella the Brony Pirate, Replicated Flame, Rust Bell Kid, Skamel 666, Captain Dasm, Tommy D, DN Professor, Real Big Tuna, Big Bad Pad, Mina Fairy, Anthony N. Jr., Captain J. Rad of the Flaming Cold Sore, The Lore Chronologist Deadeye Dre, Hegger Owl, Jeff H., Captain Duckweed, Evil Martha, Peter Miller, Rooskidoo, Thor Von Blitz, Luke Lore the Insipid Ghost, and Zam Wow. Thank you all for your love, your support, and your conversations. I look forward to seeing a lot of you at Fest of Legends. And with that, let's get into it. Welcome everyone to the right. I swear I podcast. Welcome everyone to the April Gold Hoarder episode. It's a little bit early because I realized too late when this was scheduled compared to when it originally is scheduled. And my wedding anniversary is next week, and I want to make sure that we do something special for that. So I'm going out to Vegas to go see some Cirque du Soleil show. And then I rescheduled today's episode because I was going out to go visit family that I didn't find out about until recently. So I had to go see them. So today is a very impromptu recording, and I want to call out everyone that's here who was able to make it, and shout out to the folks that wanted to come but couldn't or didn't feel like they had much to really share on Sea of Thieves. But I really appreciate y'all dropping in to say hi. I love chatting with you guys, and I feel like it's been a while since we've talked. And that always makes me sad because I love hearing from you. So let's get into the introductions and start off from the top of the list to the bottom of who's here. Godhammer is hanging out. God, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm just kind of enjoying the nice warmer weather right now. Yeah, it was really nice to actually like have like perfect walking weather yesterday, but my legs are jello and I feel like I should be crawling around on the floor most of the day. Next up, we've got Mina Fairy. Mina, how you been?
Hello. I wish that we had warmer weather here. It's still winter.
That sucks. I am so sorry.
It's normal.
quote unquote normal. All right. And next up, we've got Regis, who's actually looking forward to the cooler weather. We were talking a little bit before we started recording down under and is actually going to be getting into fall season right now. So Regis, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's currently 6:09 a.m. with a cool 7 degrees Celsius, before you ask, before all you Americans ask, weirdos and all.
Yeah.
And it was good. I had a good weekend. It's just I've been to like a Lego, I guess you can call it convention or whatever, but yeah, and I saw like a whole bunch of like Lego pirate stuff, like from 1989 to like today with like El Dorado Fortress remake, and it's pretty interesting, including, mind you, the Jack Stone stuff.
Yeah, you were sharing some photos in our private Gold Hoarder channel of some of the displays that they had for a lot of those Lego sets, and it's wild to look back and see like what Legos used to look like compared to what they look like now. Definitely a lot more custom pieces nowadays. And I looked it up, and it's 45 degrees Fahrenheit for us Americans, if you're kind of curious.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Still way too cold for me.
You Americans and your higher numbers and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm too used to it, but I appreciate Celsius just because of like, I don't know, feels simpler, but I don't know. I'm used to Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it's all right.
Next up, we've got Big Bad Pad. Patty, how you doing today, man? You have a good day out on the seas? Okay. All right. How you doing otherwise?
It's been a mixed bag. Doing good. I was going to ask a question of you, actually. How can you complain about the weather? You live in California. It's never horrible there.
No. There are points where it shifts below 70 degrees and I get frustrated. And then there are points where it goes above 85 degrees. So, like, if you think about anything below 20.
So your tolerance level is very small then?
Yes. I'm a baby. I'm a huge temperature baby. That's why I live in California. I pay for the weather. Our taxes do not go to fix roads. Our taxes go to the weather.
Yes, aircon systems.
Yeah. I like my aircon, which is a much more apt word for air conditioning than I think Americans want to accept. Like, we really should just truncate it to aircon. But a lot of our HVAC systems are like heaters and coolers, so I don't know. It's not for me to decide these things. I just try to live in both worlds. Godhammer, you want to share that with the rest of the class?
It's a middle-aged podcast. Let's talk about the weather.
Yes. Right now, there is a storm brewing for Xbox console players in the Sea of Thieves space. And I feel like if we don't address this soon, Patty's going to pop. So I want to open the floor with the opening topic, which I originally thought was going to be something we were going to talk about Digital Foundry, but I think it's good that we start to address what your all perspectives and experiences are with the Xbox clients for Sea of Thieves, or just the PC clients until PS5 comes out officially. So Patty, I know you're frustrated with what you've been dealing with today. Can you share some of your experience on what you've been seeing on the seas and what's been going on?
Yeah, I play on Xbox, and I hadn't planned on playing for as long as I have, but I've been on for a good 8-9 hours so far.
It's healthy,
and it's definitely not. I had stuff to do in the garden, and it's not been done. But yeah, I have been crashing probably every half hour, mainly when we're diving either to Hourglass or to the Raid Voyages. Either at the point of diving or not long after I come up, or when we're in fights with other players. And it is frustrating, to say the least.
That's
the main reason I wanted to come on today. Is I hate being negative about this game because I do love the game, but it is frustrating to me at the moment that I can't play the game that I love the way I want to play it because I have to keep reloading. Yeah. And there have been at least 3 or 4 occasions where I've had a double crash. So I've crashed, come back with stuff in my pockets, and literally as I've loaded into the game, I've crashed again.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose everything in your pockets as well. And it's like, but they've only just introduced that fix that you can have your stuff kept in your pockets.
Yeah.
But it seems if you get a double crash, you lose everything.
That's tough.
It doesn't seem to be affecting the PC players anywhere near as badly as it is the Xbox.
So this was something that is definitely happening for a lot of folks. I saw on Twitter a couple days ago at this point, or maybe a few days ago at this point, where there was a petition for, I think Falcor had put out a petition, and it was issues that were going on with the voice chat. And one of the devs actually responded and actually commented about the fact that a lot of people in southern UK and I think in one other area, one other territory, they were having these problems with in-game voice chat. And this kind of sparked a bit of a conversation on Twitter, which Joe Neat had actually responded to. And I thought that was interesting because, to me, usually devs, they'll usually put out videos when they want to engage with stuff when it comes to these kind of topics. Every once in a while, we'll get like lore tidbits from like Mike Chapman. But not too often do we see like devs actively engaging with some of the problems that the game is having. But right now, one of the comments that came out from Gingy Captain said, maybe we need a petition for Xbox servers constantly crashing then. Signed, alpha player since day one on Xbox. And Joe responded to this and said, we are on this. Appreciate the frustration. It's complex, but we have people all over it trying to solve ASAP. And Gingy replied, thank you. The most frustrating thing is we haven't seen anyone reply about Xbox servers, so this means a lot. Thank you. Which is a pretty fair response to them actually coming out and saying something about it. Someone else had commented after that and said, because they're working on it, they're not going to give you a 0.1% progress update every other second. These are complex issues, and when they have the closest thing to an explanation slash fix, they will tell it. Otherwise, people like you are like, hashtag or quote unquote, why not fixing caps on every reply? And Joe responded to this and said, nah, it's fair. I appreciate the frustration. So I wanted to bring this up because it is something that I think a lot of Xbox players are experiencing. I know Xbox Mike has been very frustrated with not being able to consistently stay in the game. And I wanted to open it up to other folks. First off, have you experienced this a lot or a little bit? What's your perspective on this? And also, what did you think of Joe's response to this on Twitter? So anyone have something they want to jump in with and kind of share your thoughts on this?
I'll go first then. Yes, I was unaware of Joe Neat's response. So I haven't been checking the socials for every 5 minutes like most younger people do.
That's healthy.
But it does concern me that with obviously April the 30th coming very, very quickly, that they are concentrating on the PlayStation launch. And to a degree, I fully understand that. But it just seems that since they've obviously been starting on that launch, everything else has gone by the by. Mm. And obviously, I think that's where some of the problems are arriving from. The fact that obviously, they're trying to put a PlayStation game together as well.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that Joe is actually willing to put his two pennies back in. Because when they first started the game, they were putting out things every week because there were obviously that many problems with the game that needed sorting. And I appreciate Rare that they're one of the better development companies that will actually communicate with their players about what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It feels out of place when they aren't talking to us because yes. It feels like we're so used to them having good communication that it's like, okay, feels like you're like trying to talk to someone who's about to break up with you. Like you're like, hey, is everything okay? And they're like, yeah. You're like,
yeah.
Are you sure? Because I'm feeling like it's maybe not okay. And they're like, yeah, no, it's cool. So getting this was really nice. Hammer, I know you're on PC. You'd mentioned earlier that you ran into one crash, but nothing like too major.
Yeah, I got a hazelnut beard earlier today at like the start of our session. Mm-hmm. I went from around 11 o'clock Eastern to just now. So about 4 hours? No, five. Oh, boy. didn't run into any real stability issues on the PC, Steam specifically, PC client. Which had one issue at the end, which necessitated her restarting to get it fixed. But that was about it. I don't think my other partner, Rainbow Sam, did. No, I don't think so. I did ask, which with her time on the PS5 beta, I don't know if we're talking about that a little later, but I did ask about stability, and she said there was like one crash, but otherwise in about 5 hours on the PS5 client, didn't run into much stability issues through that. Otherwise, she said she had a fine time running into experienced salts and swabbies alike.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear that, because I think that's kind of close to my experience as well too with the PS5 betas. I personally didn't run into any issues with like getting disconnected. I know that there was a lot of folks that couldn't play just because of server capacities and them trying to ramp up servers. But it definitely feels like the PS5 client, to Patty's point, feels like maybe there's a little more attention that's been going into that just due to the launch and them wanting to try and ensure that experience is a positive one that may have maybe drawn resources away from the Xbox stability that could be a source of the root of the cause here. But it's hard to know without them actually saying that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we got to keep in mind that Rare is not like a big as hell like Blizzard or Blizzard or Bungie or stuff like that. Like they're a small-ish studio that is pointing a 6-year-old game from the Xbox One to like a modern-day PlayStation 5. So naturally, there's going to be like some attention diverted away from like the Xbox One to make the PC to make the PS5 as smooth as possible. Which, you know, maybe this is a sign of things like Rare needs to expand their studio to like a bigger lot or bigger thing.
Yeah, it's tough, right? How do you expand your teams so you can, you know, maintain stability? Like we've seen layoffs, if anything, tons and tons of layoffs across the industry in game studios. Like folks are having trouble keeping jobs. How does Rare safely expand to be able to address this while not having to eventually lay people off in the coming, you know, months or in a year's time?
Do we know if it's specific to like one specific type of Xbox, if it's like a Series S or X or I don't know what the versions of the Xbox are these days.
Well, you've got the One S, One X, Series S, Series X. I'm on a Series X and I'm having major problems.
Yeah, I don't think that we have like specific numbers or breakdowns on the clients. I would assume that a large majority of the crashes are going to be on the series systems. I would be interested to see if having more staff could actually do something to improve the stability, or if this is just one of those situations where there's only so much time that they can dedicate it, and adding more bodies wouldn't really improve it, and it might actually detract, because now you've got more cooks in the kitchen trying to like work on it, and you're losing kind of quality as a result. Otherwise, I'll say that sorry, Regis, you had something?
No, never mind, sorry.
Oh, no worries. So yeah, otherwise I would say that I'm glad that this is getting attention, and it's glad that this is something that seems like a very high priority for them, because obviously this is something that is going to really kind of impact the longevity of people playing the game. If you don't feel like you can play the game and feel like the game is going to be stable, a lot of folks are not going to want to invest the time to try and do anything meaningful if they don't feel like they can actually accomplish that. And I would say that for all of us, the point when the game stops being reliable is the point where we stop to trust to play the game, because we're never going to be sure if we can actually do what we want to do and have it, you know, work out. Mina, did you have something?
Yeah. It also is frustrating for those of us that aren't necessarily crashing out as much, because I've moved over to the PC mostly. Then I still have the odd crash, but it's mostly my crewmates on Xboxes that are crashing out. Last night, Super Pack Ors and myself were playing, and all three of us hard crashed out. And we couldn't get back in. We were getting marble bearded, which apparently meant that the server we were on had crashed.
Oh, wow.
So we actually had to restart a different ship in the end because we just could not get back in. Oh. And then Super Pack then carried on having the odd crash here and there. And it's so frustrating when you're trying to do stuff. You're trying to sell stuff and they're like, oh, I've crashed. So you have to pause and not to be polite and let them benefit from what they've helped. I mean, things happen. We were getting attacked earlier and Paddy disconnected. You're trying to do things or you see things happening, and to then have your crewmates unable to necessarily help can be frustrating for the rest of us. Yeah. And if that then means that they don't want to play as much, the rest of you don't get to either sometimes.
Yeah. And it's really hard when this is like your main game, right? Mm. When you sit down and you think, I want to invest some time with my friends and hang out with them. And the one thing that you can rely on is the thing that's taking away the joy of actually like spending time with other people. I don't think that Football Manager has a co-op mode. So Patty's not going to, you know, be able to convince you to play.
Yeah, you're not football. Gonna get me on that, even if it has been declared.
Yeah. The only reason I've swapped over is because I crashed. It's like, I'm not playing it, I'm not doing it.
So you move on to another game. You know, like not everyone's gonna not everyone always feels up to jumping on to like Diablo 4 after a bunch of people have crashed on Sea of Thieves to be able to play that.
No.
So,
but I am glad that they have acknowledged that they are trying to fix it.
Yeah. And I am personally expecting that when season 12 launches next week with the PS5 launch, that we will get the client update that we saw with the PS5 beta or closed beta that they did. And we will then have a little bit more stability because both versions of the console client will be on parity. And hopefully that will hopefully be the thing that kind of like makes things a little more stable. They'll be pushing out. What I will say now, if you're listening to this, please, please expect to have a summable like download size. Just anticipate mentally having to download a hefty update for the game if that actually happens, because usually with the times in the past where we've had them say like, all right, we're doing a big server thing that's going to improve stability, it's come with a pretty decent sized patch. So just want to get that out there so folks can kind of like get in the mental mindset of like, okay, this might be a bit of a download. Did anyone have anything that they wanted to kind of tie this up with? Or did you guys want to jump over to a different topic? Because I've got a couple.
Let's go to the next one then.
All right. So 40 million players. I mentally cannot wrap my head around what 1 million players looks like, let alone 40 million players. But Sea of Thieves just recently announced that 40 million players is now the amount of people that have at least started Sea of Thieves. Not necessarily like, I wouldn't call it played, if we're being honest. But I will say that at least 40 million people have started Sea of Thieves, which to me is a real win. Just knowing like how this game started, how long it's been going, what people's incentive was to pick it up. And to see that 40 million people have at least started the game gives me hope that a fair amount of them are sticking around. and enjoying the game. This has been, it's been a while since we've seen like a number update. I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say it was like 2021 or 2022 that we saw 30 million. I can't quite remember when that happened, but 40 million people, that's a heck of a lot. Now, I did some digging as a result of Davram. Who took a look at the achievement list and checked the percentage of completions for probably the most basic, which is just setting sail, you know, getting your ship anchor up and leaving the island. And that's a roughly about 65%, which leaves about, I want to say, I did the math the other day and I can't remember off the top of my head the exact number, but I want to say it was close to 10 to 14 million people out of that 40 who couldn't quite understand ship. Like they understood island, but they couldn't quite understand ship. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. Like, is there something that Sea of Thieves needs to do to, oh, Godhammer, you got the number. Go ahead and share it.
Yeah, just with a little percentage calculator, 60% of 40 million is about 24 million people. So 24 million people, you could say, have played the game, quote unquote.
Mm. So they at least understood pirate.
Well, they understood boat.
That's fair. Yes. Okay. They may not have understood pirate, but at least they understood boat. Which I think is a fairly good number for Sea of Thieves, given the history of the game, how many pirate games there are and stuff, how interesting Sea of Thieves is when it comes to ships. I mean, you really do have to kind of understand like how a ship works for us to kind of like work it out. So I wanted to ask, do you guys think that the maiden voyage is still holding up its end of the bargain as far as teaching players how to play the game to kind of kick off?
I have no idea. I've never played it.
Oh my God.
I'm waiting till I get the last five achievements that I need to unlock done. What? And then I'll finish the maiden voyage.
But it's so easy. Why is that one? Why are you saving that one for last?
That's the joke, Logan.
Oh, that's a joke. I feel dirty even knowing. Mina, Patty, Regis, any of you have any feelings on the 40 million?
I will say that.
I'm impressed. Sorry, Rich. I'll let you go, Regis.
Sorry.
Patty, go ahead. Regis, after. Patty, go ahead. Regis, let me get your thoughts after.
I'm impressed that we've reached 40. Like you say, 24 have actually played the game, 16 have actually just logged into the game. That's a bit sad. But after thinking about it a little bit, while Sea of Thieves is a very, very good game, it doesn't come alive for most people unless they're playing it with others. And so if you're literally coming into this game on your own, it can be hard mode.
Yeah.
Because every ship is going to be bigger than you. And obviously that 40 million doesn't include the new PlayStation people we're going to get. So how quickly are we going to get to 50 million?
Mm-hmm. That's really, you know, I'll be honest. I hadn't really considered that aspect of the game when it comes to that number, but it makes total sense. That Sea of Thieves, especially when you, in Godhammer, you shared your achievement list, and I can't help but notice the percentages on the achievements that we have, which is the first one being, you know, now bring me that horizon at 64%. Compared to completing the maiden voyage, which is only, you know, it's barely at 27.92. It's not even 28% of that, which means less than half of the people that have started Sea of Thieves have actually even completed maiden voyage, which does kind of concern me when you're looking at the full number of players for Sea of Thieves. Not even half of the people that have even like set sail for the game have completed the maiden voyage.
Yeah, I think the maiden voyage might need a bit of a rework, a redoing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. Aww. No offense, Patty.
Aww, come on.
My apologies.
Yeah, apology accepted. 40 million is pretty big, but like what Patty said, like maybe they want to do this like this big number for like PC and Xbox players before they release of Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5, which, you know, could see a massive increase depending how, you know, curious and interested PlayStation players are, besides it being like, oh, Xbox, get off my platform, please. We don't want that filth on here being like ponies, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, console war and all that. But yeah, yeah. I'm interested to see like how the numbers are going to be like after the launch of CFEs on PS5. Yeah, because that'll be very interesting. Like, will we get the 45 million? Will we get the 50 million? Who knows? Will be as big as Luffy's bounty by the end of the series. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see post PlayStation 5 launch where we're at with just like the number of players. I would love to know better, like what the full concurrency, like what the full monthly active users are, because I think we've heard in the past, the first time they did Community Day was the highest concurrency since Pirate's Life, which to me feels like it's been a long time. And that because we haven't seen like the highest concurrency, I wonder if the PlayStation launch will break those numbers just by including that ecosystem into the full pool of possible players, and how they will try, or not try, but how they will plan on using those numbers as like a PR thing. And Mina, you talked about how you did the maiden voyage.
Yeah, I just did it to tick it off the things to do because it was not ticked.
Do you think that your experience with Sea of Thieves before doing the maiden voyage didn't give you a sense of like wow or amazement when you played through it?
It probably added to that. I mean, I thought it was cool, the island and how they had you interacting with stuff. But because I know what needs doing and how to do stuff, then it was a bit kind of, it was all right.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Godhammer, you mentioned that it was a PR thing and that 40 sounds more impressive than 24 million. Which do you think you would prefer as like a consumer to hear?
I would probably say, yeah, I guess 40 million people have checked this thing out. It tells me at least you've got something that appealing that at least 40 people want to at least log into and take a look. Would also be, it's hard to follow up. We have had 40 million people and about 300,000 of those actively come in every month. And it's just like, so what happened to the other 39,700,000? Why are they not coming back in? So it makes sense for them to go for the big number, because the small number is, you know, small number usually not great contextually. I don't fault them for crowing for that number. It doesn't tell the whole story, but at the end of the day, if you're logging in to play the game and trying it out, you're not going to see all 300,000 of the people concurrently playing. All you have to do is find five other boats.
Yeah.
And four other boats. We'll get back to that fifth one day. all you need to do is find four other boats, and you're getting the experience that they set out for you. So in the end, it's not like it's in World of Warcraft where you can see all how many on a server. I have no idea.
I could not tell you what their server capacities are, but I see where you're going with it.
It's not going to feel dead if you're logging in to the game and there's not 40 million people on at the same time. It's as long as you get a full server, you're getting the experience that they set out for in the beginning.
Yeah.
So the numbers are kind of, it's a feather in their cap, but it's not the whole story. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see just how many people are engaging with the game, it works better if you have a lot of people on your Xbox friends list playing Sea of Thieves. But if you check the emissary, specifically Reaper emissary, because it's one that's easy to engage with. Guilds might also, well, Guilds doesn't work as well. If you check the Reaper emissary at the end of the month, you can usually get a fairly good idea of how many people have played in a month. because there'll be some people who haven't messed with the emissary and some people who have, and the people who have messed with it very little will be further back in the leaderboards, and you can get a fairly good idea of how many in the leaderboards by the people who are farther back in it have engaged with it. So that means they've had to engage with it by throwing up their emissary flag and turning in some loot to the servant, or some flags to the skeletons on the island. And I've always found that's the best way to gauge how active the game is per month.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I think you bring up a very valid point that unless you're doing something like Hourglass, where you're being matched up with people of your level, and hopefully, you know, opposite faction, but same faction fights do happen a fair amount. That's really, I think, the only time I've ever really noticed when, for whatever reason, people in my region or the region that I'm queued into are not actively playing the game. Numbers are always such a funky thing, but I think, yeah, as long as servers are able to fill ships or you know, spots in a server are getting filled and you're able to find, you know, at least a couple people per server, if that's what your goal is, I would say that is still a fairly good win, as easy it is nowadays to be able to switch servers through means. Either by, you know, tall tale portals or diving to a location or doing Hourglass, there's always an option for you to be able to, you can even just quit the game and just jump on into a new server if you really wanted to, but there's always going to be a way for you to hopefully find a matchup or a pairing. I know I was taking a look at the Steam charts a couple days ago, and they look like they were starting to trend upward. They're still relatively like same as they've always been. So I will be curious to see if that number goes down or if that number goes up, or if we'll start to see reports about, you know, Sea of Thieves hitting 5 million. I think 5 million would be impressive if that number came out sometime this summer, or even if they were able to, if there were 45 million players by the time the Xbox showcase goes off, because I'm sure that we'll probably see something tying to Flameheart for the Xbox showcase in June. That would be very impressive for them to boast about 45 million, but it does make me concerned that so many players are picking up the game but not sticking with it. And how do you fix that problem, especially when, Patty, to your point, a lot of this game is the social aspect of it, and when one person picks up the game, that does not necessarily give them the full scope and feel of what Sea of Thieves has to offer, not even taking into account things like Safer Seas. Anyone have any thoughts on that, or wanted to jump in with some ideas?
The only thing that I would say, obviously, about this game, obviously, is that it is the social part of the game, because how many games do you know of that actually have a convention just for the game? In fact, it's got two conventions this year.
Yeah,
again, in the UK and in America. How many games can actually claim to have their own conventions?
Minecraft.
Like I say, there aren't that many of them, yeah, as far as I'm aware.
I know there's some.
And so yes, it is a community game rather than a play on your own type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, I've definitely seen things like Destiny 2. I didn't know there was a Minecraft one, to be honest. That's kind of cool that they have that. I've seen like Fallout get-togethers and stuff. I don't know if they have like a convention, but it'll be interesting to see. Godhammer, you said Warframe has one?
Yeah, Warframe has something called TennoCon. It's all about Warframe specifically.
That's wild. That's kind of cool. That's a dark area in my gaming experience. I've never tried out Warframe.
I gave it a go a little bit when a buddy of mine invited me to play into it, but something that Sea of Thieves has taught me is that I don't really enjoy games that require you to have like builds or loadouts, mm-hmm, that sort of thing. The simplicity of just picking Sword or Eye of Reach or Blunderbuss is does it appeal to me.
blunderbuss go boom, me like, people die. That's all I understand. I do think things like BlizzCon do tend to shift the perspective of what conventions are, because that tends to be a community based around all the games that that studio produces. But Patty, to your point, I think you're right, man. I don't think that there are a large number of games that I've ever heard of that have conventions on their own, let alone multiple conventions on different continents. And because of that, I think that there is a lot to be said for how Sea of Thieves promotes itself, and how it could do more to try and reinforce that opportunity. And at the moment, I think that there's always been a very big stigma around Open Crew ever since Open Crew was a thing. You know, we had wanted closed crews because people are crazy. And sometimes we're the crazy, sometimes they're the crazy, but usually it's rough when, you know, there's too much crazy on one ship and nothing gets done. And it almost makes me wonder if there was a way that you could take the mission table, or the captain's table, and vote on a mission. And if you wanted to do that as an open crew, it would match you with other people who wanted to do that mission. And that way, instead of trying to find people or join an open crew where who knows whatever's, you know, who knows what's going on an open crew galleon when you load in, like there could be so many things that could be going on. But having a system built in where there is a way for you to say, like, okay, I want to play on open crew with other people. I'm okay with playing with random people, but I want to work on Ashen Lord voyages for gold hoarders. Having a way to cue into that style of matchmaking would be hard to kind of ensure, like, if you wanted to find someone, so maybe you could pick multiple missions. But I wonder if maybe something like that would be a way for people to be able to match up with other players of like minds. And maybe it could be focused around companies, you know, if you wanted to play with other people who wanted to work on Order of Souls or Hourglass. Is any of this resonating, or am I kind of off on my own little tangent here?
I got bored one day about a week ago and tried to open crew galleon. And it is wild. Okay, so like the biggest problem I have is there's no real there's nothing that keeps people there. They will just drop out, and on a galleon that's bad. It's real bad. So I tried to get more than two people to stay, but it just didn't work. So I switched over to sloops, and I thought I found somebody who was, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go do a voyage. I'm new to the game. Well, let me help you get some cash. And then we got to the first island, just disappeared. Just left. Oh. Just like, why are you doing this to me? I don't know. I don't know if you can fix open crew without making it super granular with how you you got to set up, like, you'd almost have to set up parameters for, like, I am looking to play with three other people. I am looking to play for like 2 hours. I am looking to play with people with experience of like more than 50 hours or something like that. That's the only way you could maybe even possibly do, and you might have to introduce something along the lines of like the punishments in certain ranked games where it punishes you for leaving a match, but also that's awful. And I wouldn't want to see that come to this game, like, in any capacity. But open crew is as close as you can get to the precipice of madness.
It's funny that you bring that up, because as you were describing this tool, my mind immediately went to the Xbox Looking for Group. And I was like, oh my God, we have this. Like, we actually have this tool available through Xbox. But that's not something that is accessible through the Steam client that I know of. Like, you could probably do it through Xbox Game Bar, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. This may be a hot take, but I don't think Steam players like Game Bar.
Nope.
I actually can speak to this because I use Game Bar almost daily.
Oh,
yeah.
I think you're the unicorn.
Well, it's handy for doing all the Xbox things that I need, pulling up a recording, getting everybody on my, opening up my Xbox friends list real quick, being able to throw out an invite, being able to search recent players. I use it almost daily, except now it's working. The record last 30 seconds thing has been not working for like the last month, and now suddenly it's working. And I haven't been able to find a way. Every time I do an update on the game bar, it's not going through. Microsoft fixed the game bar. Sorry.
So
I find it's a useful tool.
Interesting. Okay. I've never heard anything positive from anyone that primarily uses the Steam or the Steam client for Game Bar. So that's interesting to hear. And I mean, it's positive to hear, actually. I lost track of where we were going with this.
It could use, perhaps they could try doing like some integration for the Looking for Group into Sea of Thieves. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's some validity there. Like, they use their Discord predominantly for a lot of people trying to crew up for open crew. Like, that's kind of like their way of finding people who want to find stuff. And I know, like, we have a Looking for Group channel that gets used from time to time. I know a lot of us probably adverse to playing on open crew, but with the upcoming PS5 release, I kind of worry about open crew being the first experience for a lot of PlayStation players until like crews get established, people get welcomed into communities, things like that. Because I do worry that, you know, the experience they're going to have will be the madness that is open crew, and that may turn them off to the game, because I know a lot of folks who have said they did not continue playing Sea of Thieves because nobody knew what to do and no one was willing to work towards the same goal, and they just didn't have anyone else that was playing it.
Yeah, that speaks towards that 40 million versus 24.
Yeah.
We've all been through that when we first play the game. It's like, well, I haven't got anybody to play with, so I'll do open crew. And then after the 12th time of doing it, and you get to a galleon with two people on it in the end, because, like I say, you get this crew rotation coming through. It's like, I need to find people who will play the game as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it does take time, and a lot of people don't have the patience to do that and stick with the game.
How about this? Hi, are you a PlayStation player that has recently found Sea of Thieves? Welcome. Happy to have you. If you found this podcast somehow, I appreciate your initiative. Open crew is not the be all end all of this game. Find other people somehow, some other way. Don't use open crew as your port of entry. I'm glad that I'm saying that 50 minutes into this recording instead of right up top. If you stuck through it and you're still listening, PlayStation 5's players, try the Keel Hall Discord. There's plenty of nice people there.
Yes, if you've survived 50 minutes of us talking about how broken the game can be on Xbox, congratulations on your sense of resilience. Oh my god. So yeah, I Hammer, you brought up a real good thing that was actually something I wanted to lead into, but I wanted to see if there was something that you recommend PlayStation 5 players do when they first start up Sea of Thieves. You all are old salts coming from vastly different perspectives for a majority of the time. Mina, I know when you started playing the game, who you used to be involved with in the communities and what you play, what your play style is and how that's evolved over the years. Patty, I've seen you flourish into the salty dog that you are now. Hammer, you came in so deep into the game that I was always impressed by your passion and desire to interact in this game. Regis, you have come so far in how you used to play the game to what you're doing now, and I continue to see the growth in your play style and so many others of you that I really love to see, like, where things are going. If there was an opportunity where someone was sitting across from you at a coffee table and you had a chance to talk to them about Sea of Thieves as they are coming into PlayStation 5 territory, what would you like to let them know that would convey a sense of why you love playing Sea of Thieves as much as you do?
It took me a while to realize and process properly that this is a game. It does not matter if you sink. Yes, it's a pain in the bum. You've spent the last hour or so doing whatever to get whatever you wanted to get done. And somebody's come along and sunk you and nicked all your stuff. And that's fine. My biggest suggestion to anybody who's coming in from PlayStation is you will sink. Get over it. Respawn. Get on ship. Start again. You'll obviously people say, yeah, get good. It's like, well, you will only get good if you keep trying to do whatever you want to do. So patience. Bloody-mindedness, you know. And yes, try and find a group of people to sail with, whether that be through Open Crew, and that can be and will be painful, but it's how I found my first two crewmates. And yeah, just be nice when you sink other people. Don't be a toxic sweat lord.
I like that.
That's about it, I think.
So basically, don't be a pace 22 when it comes to like sinking people. Just be nice.
No, I wasn't thinking pace. I was thinking summit, but yeah.
Oh, yes. Pace and summit, then. Fair enough. We'll mark the two of them together.
Believe it or not, if I could interject real quick, because I don't want to steal anyone's thunder here, but I've actually watched a fair amount of pace in recent years, and he's not engaging. He's very kind of like apathetic, but I've never really seen him be toxic to a point where I was like, this is not acceptable. So I will give him, I don't know the dude. I don't know what his life is like or anything like that, but I can't say I've ever been offended, by any of the streams that I've watched. And I have watched with the intent of understanding, would I get offended? But anyway, sorry, I wanted to go on. Hammer, you wanted to jump in?
I would say the main thing about this game is that it is a game that the more you put into it, the more you're going to get back from it. And I know that's... I know that's a hard thing to come at from where you're just brand new to the game and you've got all the options in the gaming hemisphere to choose from, to commit yourself to this one game that you have no idea about, that at first it seems brutally punishing when somebody comes along and messes you up. But if you can stick with it, the game will give you so much more the more you put into it. And the one way to do that is to embrace the secret sauce of the game, which is uncertainty. You can go into a Call of Duty match and know exactly how it's going to play out, not the specific score or how good your teammates are, but you know what the experience is going to be like more or less every single time. In this game, in Sea of Thieves, you can have a framework for how you think your match is going, your session is going to play out. But you cannot know specifically how exactly it's going to play out because all the other main elements of the game are other players, and players are unpredictable. And sometimes you can get a read on how it's going to go down, but you can never know for sure. And are those people going to be just pure jokers that are coming to try and, honestly, sometimes they'll just come in to brighten your day? Because I've done that. I've had other people do it to me. Are they coming to sink you? More than likely. But if you put in the time, if you learn how to fight, and this is important, learn how to fight. The game gets so much better when you know how to fight. If you can turn that around, there's nothing more intoxicating than sinking somebody who's coming after you. Oh, it's the best feeling in this game when somebody jumps you and you manage to put them in the water instead. Oh, it's the best. It's so good. But embrace the uncertainty of this game makes it so good because you can never have a solid idea of how a session's going to play out. And it's the best thing about this game because it keeps it fresh for literally years.
I'm sitting here nodding my head because I 100% agree with that. Mina, what do you want to share as far as what you would tell someone across the way?
I would say reach out to as many different groups as you can. Yes, there will be in those groups crews that are already fairly thick as thieves, but there will be other people that are also kind of looking for other people to play with. It might take a while. It might be absolutely terrifying reaching out to people you don't know. I struggle with that myself, but it is so worth it. The number of people that I have met through this game and had a chance to have so much fun with over the last 6 years, right down to the current crew that is actually in my time zone. It's been so worth it to bite the bullet and go, hi, can I join you, please? There will be the odd time where you might get a no, but stick at it. You will find a crew, and it is so much better with a crew. If you have fun playing solo, props to you, but stick at it and reach out. Some people you won't get on with. That's okay. There's lots of people out there. 40 million, apparently.
I agree with that, yeah. Having other people that you can touch base with and in different communities will help guide you to a place where you'll start to feel at home. And yeah, if you can play solo, that is a testament to your resolve with being overwhelmed. You are the true Dark Souls masters of Sea of Thieves. Regis, did you have anything that you would like to tell a brand new Sea of Thieves player coming in to the PlayStation 5 and what they should expect, or just thoughts in general?
Well, my advice would be just when you see things like, you know, an enemy ship on the horizon, or you never know what they're going to be like. They could be friendly, they could be foe, they could be sweat lords, newbies, or just people looking to have a good time. Just be civilized about it. Like, sure, they may like spew some racist nonsense, as is the world in this day and age. But, you know, play the game how you want to play. Like, the whole point of CFE's motto is be the pirate you want to be. Just whether you're like a podcaster like Logan is, a person who grinds all the Athena with all the curses stuff like Godhammer is, or you just, you know, like me, who my claim to fame is just writing a bunch of fan fiction, which is, yeah, the random most thing, but I'm not the only one who writes fan fiction, just to let you know. And, yeah, and some people came here for, like, oh, because Jack Sparrow's in the game, or, oh, I only come to the game if, like, say, ex-pirate from ex-franchise would get in here. Doesn't matter, just see if he's not Fortnite. Just, it's his own world, it's his own, you know, has his own characters, his own things, and the way the game's going this day and age, it's looking to be like one of the Xbox's leading franchises to boldly go where no one has ever gone before, to like a new hardware. The first Rare game and one of many Xbox games going to PlayStation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how the game goes. And like I keep saying, like, be your own pirate. Don't try to intimidate, like, somebody else's, like, yeah, just be your own pirate. Like, you could be, like, a salty sea dog or a podcast of someone who does research and, like, all the hidden secrets of the game. And the choice is yours. This game thrives on choice. You could be, like, anyone you want to be. So, yeah, the horizon is yours to set sail on. What you decided to do is your choice and your choice alone. No one else's choice.
I love that. That's fantastic too. Really speaks to telling your own story in Sea of Thieves, which I think is just as essential to everything that everyone else has talked about. If I could tell one pirate across the table from me at a cup of coffee, you know, having a discussion about Sea of Thieves and what to expect, I would encourage them to seek out the pirate code. It was 7 articles that were drawn up by the original community of Sea of Thieves, many of which who are still invested in the community, which to me is the essence of Sea of Thieves. If not for the community, the game would have been dead a long time ago, because we are the ones that support, share our thoughts, share our feelings, drive this game to different areas and allow the devs to express themselves in a way and then give them our honest opinions on it. And without that, there are so many things in this game that wouldn't have turned out as awesome as they did. So the community really does help influence the developers in both positive and negative ways. But at the end of the day, there is a pirate code, and as corny as that sounds, it's effectively a terms of service in my mind for Sea of Thieves. And the articles that are in there are all things that at the time that they were drawn up were all things that everyone in the community agreed upon. They worked together to build this up. And I think it really speaks to the most important values that you can have when it comes to a community. And it doesn't matter what the community is. This one just happens to be tied to Sea of Thieves, but it really does talk about why it's important that we have a code and that we should try to follow the code, because it will be the thing that continues to build a community the way that this community deserves to be, which I think is one of the best communities in gaming. And especially when it comes to the article, one of the best ones that I'm looking forward to seeing right now is the sixth one, which is Respect New Pirates and Their Voyage Ahead. May the old legends help to forge new ones. Treat new pirates with respect and share your knowledge. And I've seen that a fair amount in Sea of Thieves. And I've seen it a fair amount with this, with the beta. And I'm really happy to see that, because it makes me feel glad to know that a lot of what we want for Sea of Thieves is just for the game to continue to flourish and continue on. And while we may have problems with the code aspect of the game from time to time when it's unstable, the community is the strongest part of it. Like Patty had mentioned, we have two conventions for Sea of Thieves. So I'm really happy to have this opportunity, and I'm probably going to talk about it at the beginning of the episode, that this is what I think people should stick around for this episode for, and understand that everything that we've said at the beginning of this episode, while true, is a small pinhole in the large, beautiful mural that is Sea of Thieves. With that being said, is there anything that anyone wanted to share or talk about before we kind of wrap things up and get out of here?
Hourglass good.
Solid. All right. Well, if that's the case, let's get back to our Golden Glory weekend. Let's head out of here. Godhammer, anything else that you want to say or share as we get out of here? I'm sure I've got an idea what you want to talk about, so let's hear it.
I just wanted to shout out Wailing Witch, yeah, who just got her skeleton curse. Congrats.
Yay.
Solid, stalwart sailing partner. One I couldn't ask for more. Along with then up next, Rainbow Sam, then Logan, then Chenzo. We're going to get them all. We'll get them all.
I'm looking forward to sailing with you guys again, because we do need to get Hourglass time in.
And we're happy to have you.
I look forward to it. I haven't sailed with you and Witch in a while, and Hourglass is made so much better when I'm sailing with you guys. So I really appreciate the invite, as always.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Mina, we're going. You want to say bye?
Bye.
Solid. Regis, we're heading out. Anything you want to shout out or say as we go?
Not much. Just I said my piece, and just I love this game, and I really, really want to go to those conventions. Like, you know, the whole reason I want to go to the American one for say is like so I can meet you in person, Logan, like to honestly meet my hero. Like, without you, I'll probably never be a part of this podcast. So whenever you do eventually come to the British, to CFE's Fest, I'll hopefully be able to go, but depends if I can work up the courage to actually go overseas, because, you know, I need to, you know, plan ahead.
Yeah, it does take a lot. If you ever need any advice or any heads up, having done it a couple times now, I'm always open to try and help folks get more information to feel more comfortable about that, because it is daunting.
Yeah. Someone who's never been overseas once could be pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's taxing. It is.
Yeah,
very
taxing it is.
Long flights are hard on the body, and they're hard on anxiety even more, so I respect it.
Yeah, it takes 24 hours to get from here in Tasmania to, like, Brit, 24 hours from here to Britain, so.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there. We'll figure it out.
In, like, 20 years.
If that's what it takes, I mean, I'll be impressed if Sea of Thieves makes it that long, that's for sure. We'll be all playing Sea of Thieves in our minds. Patty, we're heading out, buddy. I'm so glad that you brought to the table your thoughts and your feelings on the game, because I'd like to know how people's honest feelings are about it. So thank you for bringing that. But is there anything you want to shout out or say as we head out?
The only thing is I want to congratulate El Jefe on the birth of his son. I think it was 3 weeks ago now.
Is that public knowledge now? Can we talk about that?
Yes.
Now? Yay.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Yeah.
That was very.
So, yes.
I didn't know that that was public knowledge, but yeah, I am. I'm very, very happy to hear that Jack was born and that everything's going well. It's such a beautiful baby too. And congrats, Hefe, on that.
At the moment, he's doing well in the fact that he's only waking up once between midnight and 6 a.m. So
that's pretty good.
That's what I said.
That's true. That, you know, from what I've heard, like kids can wake up quite a bit in the middle of the night. So I'm glad that they're getting a relatively nice a break on that. I saw a meme the other day that I won't share here, but I'll have to tell you guys after I'm done recording that kind of cracked me up about raising a baby when they're first born. But anyway, I appreciate that. And again, thanks to El Jefe. If you guys have any questions, concerns about anything that we talked about, always feel free to head over to the Keelhauled Podcast Discord, where you can always chat and hang out with anyone in our community. And otherwise, you can always reach out to us through the social links in the show notes. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. I know I did, just for the pure fact that I got to chat with you all today. And I look forward to the next time we get to chat. And or anyone else that didn't quite get to make it this week, we'll get to hopefully do so in May, which would probably be the last one before the showcase. So I'll be kind of curious to hear thoughts, feelings on what season 12 is looking like, as well as what they could announce for the Xbox showcases. I'm assuming they'll probably will have something for that. But that's going to do it for this episode. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. Love you. And I will talk to you all next time.